A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brothers and sisters, for freedom Christ set us free, so stand firm and do not submit against the yoke of slavery. It is I, Paul, who am telling you that if you have yourself circumcised, Christ will be no benefit to you. Once again, I declare to every man who has himself circumcised that he is bound to observe the entire law. You are separated from Christ, you who are trying to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we await the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith works through love. The word of the Lord. Let your mercy come to me, O Lord.
Let your mercy come to me, O Lord.
Let your mercy come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Take not the word of truth from my mouth, for in your ordinance is my hope.
Let your mercy come to me, O Lord.
And I will keep your law continually forever and ever.
Let your mercy come to me, O Lord.
And I will walk with liberty because I seek your precepts.
Let your mercy come to me, O Lord.
And I will dwell in your commands which I love. And I will lift up my hands to your commands and meditate on your statutes.
Let your mercy come to me, O
Vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam. After Jesus had spoken, a Pharisee invited him to dine at his home. He entered and reclined at table to eat. The Pharisee was amazed to see that he did not observe the prescribed washing before the meal. The Lord said to him, "O you Pharisees, although you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, inside you are filled with plunder and evil. You fools, did not the maker of the outside also make the inside? But as to what is within, give alms, and behold, everything will be cleaned for you." Verbum Domini. A couple of days ago in our National Catholic Register newspaper, Patty McGuire Armstrong wrote an article in which he told the story of Theoni Bell. Theoni Bell is an author of a new book, and what sparked that was that she herself had a loss of a child. She had a miscarriage after 27 weeks. And it was during the COVID epidemic that she was in the hospital. She could have no visitors because of the COVID. And so she was very much alone. And her husband brought her a journal in which her 9-year-old daughter had written a note. And her daughter had written, "Mom, tell me a story. Tell me a story." And she's wondering, because she's grieving and she's alone, how can I possibly tell her a story? And it was really what sparked a book that she would write about the loss of miscarriage that so many have suffered in their own lives. And she wrote this book, Jelly Bean, A Baby's Journey to God. So as you know, when a child is developing in the womb, it has almost the shape of a jelly bean, right? And so she shows, and there's a beautiful picture on the cover of this book, I was looking at it last night, of Jesus wearing the crown on his throne and welcoming this child into heaven. And the reason I begin with that is because today is the Pregnancy and Infant Loss Remembrance Day. And in fact, this month, in a very particular way, we know that there are many people in this situation. I myself have spoken to grieving mothers and fathers who shed tears at the loss of a child in miscarriage or in infancy. It's a very painful thing. And thankfully, Patty McGuire now, in this article, and I would encourage people who maybe have suffered this loss. I was recently speaking just a few weeks ago with a young woman who's just been married and has had 2 miscarriages, and just the grief and the sorrow that springs from that, because you want to welcome and embrace this child, and yet you learn to trust in God, to trust in God, and to find comfort in our faith. You know, St. Therese herself talked about 2 of her siblings who had died in childhood or infancy, and how she received favors from them by asking for specific things, that she had a relationship with them in prayer. So I would encourage any of you who have lost a child in miscarriage or in infancy to check out this article. It was just written a couple of days ago by Patty McGuire Armstrong in the National Catholic Register. She has a number of resources that you can check out there. Jelly Bean, A Baby's Journey to God, A Catholic Guide to Miscarriage, Stillbirth, and Infant Loss, The Embrace Ministry, Catholic Miscarriage Support, Nursery of Heaven, Miscarriage, Stillbirth, and Infant Loss in the Lives of Saints and Today's Parents, which this is a book that illustrates some saints today, like St. Louis and Zélie Martin, St. Therese's parents, St. Gianna Mola, and the servant of God, Chiara Corbella Petrillo. Perhaps you know her story, that they lost 2 children before finally they had a little boy, Francesco. So these are great resources you can find in that article. And I also wanted to mention Father Ben Cameron, who is here today, and he has worked for 20 years in the Project Rachel ministry. So that's helping women who have suffered the trauma of abortion to find healing in the Lord, to find healing in that. And he's recently written a book. You can learn more about this on Jim and Joy's show this week, Wednesday and Friday. Healing the Deepest Wounds, A Pastoral Guide to Abortion, Trauma, and Grief. He'll also be doing a bookmark with Doug Keck today. So you'll want to see those programs too as a help to healing those traumas. You know, those wounds are so deep, but the Lord can reach the deepest places of our hearts, and we can find comfort and consolation in Him, and hope in Him, and restoration in Him. He is our Savior, after all, and we need a Savior. And the good news is that we have the best of Saviors, Jesus. So today we are celebrating the feast of the Doctor on Prayer, the first woman doctor of the church, Saint Teresa of Jesus, also known as Saint Teresa of Avila. And there's a charming story about her and a little boy who just appeared in the monastery. And so this little boy is there, and he says to her, "Who are you?" And she replies, "I am Teresa of Jesus." "And who are you?" And he said, "I am Jesus of Teresa." And so you see that love that the Lord has for us in our own lives, that she was happy to have as part of her name, her religious name, Teresa of Jesus. But he was quite happy to have her too. "I am Jesus of Teresa." And to have that comfort in knowing that Jesus embraced every stage of human life, from conception to the end. Every stage in the womb, in Mary's womb, the Immaculate Virgin Mary, He embraced, and that has to be a comfort to us too, to give us courage, even when a child is lost through miscarriage or in infancy, that Jesus embraced that stage of life and He's redeemed it. And so what does the church say? We entrust them, these children, to the great mercy of God. We entrust them to the mercy of God. And we know that Jesus welcomed children. And so we are comforted in that fact that He embraced every stage of the unborn life and of every stage of our life, and that He embraced and welcomed children. So let's learn a bit from Teresa. She has been called common sense canonized because of her practical way of expressing the faith and some of the struggles that we have. This is an interesting thing I just discovered in doing some research about her. So this is the oldest painting that we have of Teresa. And the story of this, and you can find this actually on the Archdiocese of Seville, Spain's website. The story behind this is that when Teresa went to Seville to found a new monastery, there was one of the Carmelite friars there who did the very first painting of her. And so the year was 1576, June 6th. But what was Teresa's response to this first painting? And a lot of paintings of Teresa have since used this as kind of a reference in their own painting. Here's what Teresa said to Brother Juan. "May God forgive you, Brother Juan, for having painted me ugly and bleary-eyed." So she didn't particularly like this painting, but it gives us some idea of what Teresa of Avila looked like, Teresa of Jesus. But as I said, she is the doctor of prayer, the first doctor of the church, who can teach us so much about growing in our own prayer lives. Now, what about those who are just beginning to pray? And they could say, "Well, I can never ever reach, you know, the depths of prayer, or it's too late for me." Well, here's a great quote that I found of St. Teresa about, "It's just too late for me. I can't get started now." Here's her prayer to redeem lost time. "Oh my God, source of all mercy, I acknowledge your sovereign power. While recalling the wasted years that are past, I believe that you, Lord, can in an instant turn this loss to gain. Miserable as I am, yet I firmly believe that you can do all things. Please restore to me the time lost, giving me your grace, both now and in the future, that I may appear before you in wedding garments. And she would say also a prayer, anyone who has not begun to pray, I beg for the love of the Lord not to miss so great a blessing. There's no place here for fear, but only desire. No one who has ever taken God for a friend, no one has ever taken God for a friend without being rewarded. And mental prayer, in my view, is nothing but a friendly way of talking in private with him whom we know loves us. So that has to be, it's not about thinking a great deal, it's about loving a great deal, she says. So we know the Lord loves us. And so it's a friendly conversation. That's how we grow in this friendship, by spending time with the Lord. We live in such a busy, hectic world, don't we? And we get so stirred up, caught up in all of these different things, or scrolling, or doing all the entertainment that's available to us today. And we don't take time to pray. And Teresa's telling us, don't lose such a great opportunity here. Don't miss so great a blessing to have some quiet time, to spend time with the Lord in the Gospels. What does the Lord say in today's Gospel? He's saying, you're worried about the outside, but what's inside? What's going on inside? Inside, you're filled with plunder and evil. Teresa speaks about that reality of when we choose to pray, we choose to follow the Lord. At first, there's this kind of the tug of war that's going on in us. We're drawn to the things of the world that we've left, but we also have experienced the Lord and we want him more. But there's this tug of war that's going on in the first stages of our prayer. But then as those things get put away and the new man is put on, we have more freedom. And now God is pouring more gifts of prayer. It becomes more his infusing work in us. What happens is that his desires become ours. We get a great thirst for the salvation of souls, even to embrace suffering for the sake of souls and for the love of God. That's how our life of love and the Lord grows. We had a beautiful reading of Teresa's writings in our office of readings today, and I just wanted to read the last paragraph because I think this is really has to be the focus of how we're going to grow in prayer, not by thinking a great deal, although mental prayer, of course, is great and necessary for us to ponder the things of the Lord, but by loving him a great deal, by loving others. St. Paul spoke in today's first reading. He says, well, what is important? What counts for anything? It's not, again, the exterior circumcision or lack of it, but faith working through love. That's what counts. Faith working through love. So here is St. Teresa. Whenever we think of Christ, we should recall the love that led him to bestow on us so many graces and favors. Let's think about the graces and favors God has already given us that come from the love of Christ. Whenever we think of Christ, we should recall the love that led him to bestow on us so many graces and favors, and also the great love God showed in giving us in Christ the pledge of his love. For love calls for love in return. Love is repaid only by love. Love calls for love in return. Let us strive to keep this always before our eyes and to rouse ourselves to love him. For if at some time the Lord should grant us the grace of impressing his love on our hearts, all will become easy for us, and we shall accomplish great things quickly and without effort. With love, there is no labor. So the spiritual life is not burdensome. If we're motivated by love, that's what Teresa is teaching us. Love is repaid by love alone. Love calls for love in return. Let us consider the love that's already given us so many graces and blessings, and let's love him in return. And when we come to discover that, or to discover it more deeply, then she says, everything will become easy for us because it's motivated by responding and returning love for love. So may Saint Teresa of Jesus, Teresa of Avila, pray for us so that we too can enter into the depths of prayer to discover the great love with which God has loved us and love him in return.